Praise the Lord, everybody. God is good. He is great. He is greatly to be praised. Amen. We're honored to be here. Thank you for the invitation to come. I think it's been quite a while since I've actually preached here. It's been a long time. Bishop was here back in those days. I was an evangelist. I since pastored and ran halfway around the world, I think, sometimes. But it's good to be down here where the weather is cool. So I'm from Shake and Bake, California. But I know you guys have had some residue of the fires down here as well, right? Some probably smoke in the air. It's also good to see one of my elders here, Elder Ochoa, and his wife are here. Amen. These great people were in Merced when we came to Second and R back 38 years ago. Oh, my God. And so he also pastored there in Merced, and he's been with us. Him and his wife are great, great people in the kingdom. It's so good. I think he's up here to check up on me to make sure I do okay. Amen. So we're doubly glad he's here, and glad that my wife took the trip with me. She's, man, so she is, you have to watch her. If you need the Holy Ghost, don't let her pray for you, because you will get it. I'm going to tell you that right now. So she will pray you through. Amen. Amen. We had a little lady that has passed on since, but she came to us and had not received the Holy Ghost since what year? How many years? 35. How many? Really? Yeah, because she was 80-something when she passed away. But she had been in church for 60-something years, but never received the gift of the Holy Ghost. And so, of course, my wife got a hold of her, and it's either you'll speak in tongues or you'll die trying, I'm telling you. And so, boom, this lady just started speaking fluent Holy Ghost. I mean, like a champ, you know. Yeah. And then about a year later, the Lord took her home. So maybe he just brought her to Merced to get her filled and get her home. Amen. So, amen. We're so glad that my wife is here. She's still pretty. She loves me in spite of me. Amen. So you'll have to pray for her. Amen. I'm a handful. Or probably two hands full, maybe a wheelbarrow full, I don't know. I was going to preach to you something, and the longer that I stood here, I realized that maybe the first message I came with to preach, I better preach that, and maybe we'll, this is what the sleight of hand or inviting yourself back sort of kind of way. No, not that fast. So if I do good, there's a possibility I may be able to come back. We'll see. But we worked on this for, a year and a half? Yeah, a while. So my schedule has been busy, and I'm trying to slow down. My wife says I'm not trying hard enough, but literally I am. And so if you'll turn with me to Malachi chapter 3 and verse 6. I think I have a partial scripture here. What I want to read you is just up to the colon or semicolon mark there. It says, I am the Lord, I change not. And that's basically what I want to preach to you today, that I am the Lord. This is what God is saying. He wants us to remind us that he does not change.
Right.
Amen. And so the theological word is this: the immutable God. The word immutable means he that changes not. So I want to preach to you just a little while, the immutable God. If you're going to preach with me, why don't you put your Bibles down and lift up your hands and ask God to do what you need him to do in your life tonight. Would you lift up your hands and make a little noise in the house? Let's entreat the presence of the Lord. Father, we need you. Anoint my lips. I submit myself to you. I humble myself to you. Impart wisdom. knowledge, revelation, and understanding in this house tonight. Let your will be done. Loose the anointing, loose angels, loose healing, loose victory, loose miracles, we pray. We send it forth in the name of Jesus. Spirit of impartation be in the house today. In Jesus' name, clap your hands one more time. Amen. You may be seated. Thank you for standing for such a long time. Do appreciate it. Thank you for your good worship today. It's awesome to be here again. There are many central themes in the Bible. And one of them is called the attributes of God.
Yeah.
And the other is called the nature of God. Mm-hmm. There are many more, but those are the two that I thought we'd talk about just a little bit. Now, the attributes of God are, to our best limited knowledge, that number one, he is God.
Yeah.
And number two, he is holy, and he is righteous, and he is mercy, and he is love. Amen. And these are what he consists of in his nature, in his moral fiber or moral character, if I could put it like that. But the other most, to me, second most thought-provoking subject is the nature of God. It deals with things like how eternal God is, his eternality and the substance of his divine nature. He is immortal. He is everlasting. He is omnipotent. He is omnipresent. He is omniscient. He is the almighty God. Amen. And he is immutable. Somebody say amen. Today we deal with a God that cannot change. He will not change. It is a part of his nature. God cannot deny himself. God is who he is even when we're not who we're supposed to be. Amen. God never, look at your neighbor and say, God never changes. Amen. God does not possess wisdom. He is wisdom. God does not possess holiness. He is holiness. God does not possess goodness. He is goodness. God does not, are you understanding? He does not possess eternity. He is eternality. Amen. And if he's those things now, whatever God has ever been, he is still the immutable God tonight. He's still the same God as he was 500,000 years ago. Somebody say amen. Paul begins to talk with us, and he tells us one thing in Hebrews 13 and 8, that Jesus Christ, the same, yesterday, today, and forever. Amen. Times may change. People may change. Situations may change. Circumstances may change, but God never changes. Amen. His word never changes. His power never changes. His miracles never change. His healings never change. He is the immutable God. He cannot. I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. I said, I'm feeling the Holy Ghost. Amen. If God has ever performed a miracle, he does not change. He can do a miracle today just as fast he did one 5,000 years ago. Somebody shout amen. I don't know if you listen to CNN or NBC or any of the alphabet flavors, but I want you to know one thing. God is not dead. I don't care what they say on the news. He is still alive. I wish I helped somebody. If he's ever been alive, he's still alive. He said, I am the Lord. I do not change. I change not. He is the immutable God. He's not just a yesterday God. I wish I had some help here. He's not just a yesterday God. He's just not the God of my forefathers. He's just not the God of Moses and the God of Abraham and the God of Isaac, but he is today's God. Amen. He is the God of my day. Oh, Brother Daraska, do you understand what I'm saying?
I don't have to sit here and just tell the oral historical tales of what God used to do, because I serve a God that if he's ever did anything at all, he's able to do it again. He is the immutable God. Amen. We do not have to rely just on the oral history of our bygone past. And I want to tell you today, amen, that I am very proud of my Pentecostal heritage.
Yeah. Amen.
Amen. I'm proud of my apostolic roots.
Amen.
Amen. But I refuse to live in yesterday.
Right.
Oh, yeah, I can get too many amens there. I refuse to just tell what God used to do. I wish somebody help me preach. I said, God, if I'm going to evangelize, if I'm going to preach, I don't want to tell somebody else's stories. I want to know what you're able to do for me right now. I wish somebody had helped me preach today. Amen. So much that David said this in Psalms 27 and 13. He says, I would have fainted unless I had believed to see the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living. I'm not interested in a dead God. I don't want to faint in the way just hearing about what God did for Burma Beam, or we're hearing God what did with some of our forefathers. He said, I would have fainted. In other words, my faith. Excuse me. Thank you very much. I'll be in Vegas next week. So he's saying is that what God did for Abraham and for Isaac and for Jacob, I would have fainted if that's all I knew was what he did. In other words, my faith would not be as strong, but I have seen God do these things in my day in the land of the living. I thank God for what he did for those that have passed on, but I'm looking for God to do something for me today. Somebody shout amen.
Amen.
I'm telling you, friend, God is a great God.
Amen.
He is a powerful God.
Amen.
And he never, never changes. Psalms 46, 4 and 4, there is a river, the streams whereof shall be made glad, the city of God, the holy place of the tabernacles of the Most High. God is in the midst of her.
Yeah.
She shall not be moved. God shall help her, and that right early. Oh, you don't get what I'm saying here. He's talking about the church.
Come on.
Streams, rivers running. That's the Holy Ghost.
Yeah.
And he said, God is in the midst of her.
Yeah.
And the church shall not be moved.
No.
Now, that doesn't mean you cannot be moved. You got to get in the church and y'all not gonna help me preach. You got to get in the church and stay in the church. You got to get prayed up and stay prayed up. You got to be a worshiper and stay worshiping. You got to be a disciple and stay a disciple. But I want to bring your attention that he said, and he shall help her, and that right early. Oh, I know. I've heard the songs. He's an on-time God.
Yeah.
Yes, he is. Whoa, whoa, whoa. On time. Oh, no. He ain't on time.
Come on.
I've heard the song. Well, he may not come when you want him, but he'll be there right on time. No. God's not a late God. He's not even an on-time God. He's an early. Oh, y'all know. I wish somebody help me preach up right here. You need to tell your neighbor, he's not a late God. He's not an on-time God. He's an early God. He'll get up before the sun gets up. He'll meet you in the middle of your circumstance. Before you even know you got a circumstance, God has all... I wish somebody help me preach up in here. Somebody ought to jump up if they know what I'm talking about. God, look at your neighbor, slap your neighbor, high five, say, I serve an early God. So what are you saying, Pastor Remy? We got a call maybe a year or so ago. I can't even remember now, but all the flashes going on. But I got a call. We were right in the middle of a service. I was preaching on praise. and praising the Lord. And my wife got a call on her cell phone. She don't normally do that, but it kept ringing, ringing, ringing. So she ran out to try to shut it up, you know, because Siri, she's a crackhead anyway. You can't. Something wrong with that chick. You hear me? El loco. Mucho loco ese. And so she came back with this look on her face, and I leaned over because I was just getting ready to preach, and she said one of our grandsons had been shot 12 times. He was in surgery. I said, okay, all right, we got to go. I said, no, we can't go right now. I got to preach. And there's nobody to turn this over to. I got to get her done. And so I went and got my prayer pastor, take my wife and take some ladies, take her back in the prayer room and pray with her. And I started to preach.
Yeah.
Yeah. He said, whoa. No, see, I serve an early God.
Yeah.
You're not going to get it, so I'll tell you the story. All right? So I preached. God started moving. All right. Then I went and got my wife and said, let's go home. She said, what are we going to do? I said, we're going to go change clothes. No, we need to go right now. I said, well, I'm not a doctor. You're not a doctor. We can't change anything. So we went home. We got change of clothes. We got in the car, and we drove the speed limit there. Ain't no use of both of us getting in a wreck and killing each other. Hey, we got there. He was out of surgery and alive. Watch now. And then we got there. The story was he had got shot at 2 a.m. that early in the morning. And God had already got there before we got there. We got there about 2 or 3 in the afternoon. God got there at 2:05. You're not going to help me preach. He's not a late God. He's not an on-time God. He's an early God. Y'all not going to help me preach up. He's still alive and living today. Why? Because God is an immutable God, and he never, never changed. Look at your neighbor and say, he will show up early. Amen. The Bible says that if the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? If the foundation be destroyed, what can the righteous do? That word foundation there is not referring to the foundations of the church or of our gospel, but it's talking about our social laws. It's talking about the foundation of our society. And what happens if that crumbles? What if character and integrity and virtue are no longer practiced here in the United States of America? What if we lose all hope and security in things, and all of a sudden now the church has to go underground just to survive? What will become of us? Well, the fact of the matter is that we're not built on the same foundation that the world is built on. Amen. Nevertheless, our foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal: God knoweth them that are his. Somebody say amen.
Amen.
And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. In other words, though our culture and our theology of this digital age may fall to utter despair and disorder, what if our government abandons their Judeo-Christian principles and constitution falls? What if we fall into a godless system of humanism? What would the church do? Well, the church will remain the church no matter what the world does. Amen. I wish somebody help me now, because we serve a God that is immutable. Amen. Society may change, but God will never change. Governments may change, but God... See, it doesn't really matter to me if you are a Republican or a Democrat or a social. I don't care what you are. None of that stuff makes a difference to me. Amen. Because none of those people created the earth. None of those people spoke the worlds into existence. They're just a social, political situation. And my foundation is not built on that. My foundation is built on the word of God and on the power of God and on the name of God. And those things will always remain the foundation of our belief today.
Yeah, yeah.
So no matter if we have a above ground free society or whether we have to have an underground in a state system. The foundations of truth will never be shaken. The foundations of truth will never be moved, no matter how dark the hour, no matter how powerful the foe. There is a God in heaven that remains on the throne that will never change. Somebody shout amen. He will never change. Look to your neighbor and say, neighbor, God is still on the throne. Amen. He's still on the throne. He's not a president either. You can't vote him in and you sure can't vote him out. Don't get nervous. Y'all ain't looking at me crazy. He's not a king. He's the King of Kings. He's not a Lord. He's the Lord of Lords. He's higher than anything. He was before all things. He'll be at the end of all things. Nobody can stop him. Nobody can whoop him. Nobody can defeat him. I was somebody. Nobody's close to him. He said, I looked to my left hand. There was no God there. I looked to my right hand. There was no God there. I looked behind me. There was I am alone am God. And besides me, there is no other. I don't know where you got your faith. My faith is not in the White House. My faith is in the church house. I wish somebody help me preach up from here. My faith is in God and not a man. Yeah. Now I am glad for the President of the United States of America. I pray for him every day. I believe he's in the right place at the right time, at the right season. I didn't vote for the other guy. Didn't vote for him the first time. I didn't vote for him the second time. You can get quiet. You don't bother me. I can say it because I'm black. Yeah. Say what I want to say. Yeah. I don't care what color he is. Right. I don't vote color. I vote conviction. Right. Oh, you can get quieter. I don't care about if you're a Democrat or Republican. I'm an apostolic, baby. That's all I am. We are the church. We're not built on a societal situation. We're not built on politics. We're built on the power of God. Somebody shout amen. It doesn't matter who's in the White House, but it does matter who's in the church house. I don't look at your neighbor and say, God, say God, say God, is still in control. Still in control. Still in control. Somebody say amen. Habakkuk says in 33:2, O Lord, I have heard thy speech and was afraid, O God. Revive, watch this now, revive thy work in the midst of the years, in the midst of the years make known in wrath, remember mercy. We can try our best to do our best to live for God. There will be seasons. There will be times when situations will become overwhelming to us. There'll be times in our life where situations are beyond our control of what we can do as humanity. But God is never out of control. You must understand that at some point the unexpected is going to happen. It will happen without notice. It will happen when you least expect it. But nothing catches God by surprise. Amen. Amen. So there's no reason for us to become anxious or confused or fret, because ultimately God has every solution already worked out before you even know you had a solution. Amen. We may not have the slightest clue of how God will do it. We may not have the slightest clue how God's going to work it out. We may not even know if he's even going to show up. But we must have faith to believe that I serve a God that never changes. Amen. I don't know what Shadrach and Meshach and Abednego was going through. Maybe they thought, oh, surely he's going to come and deliver us. Amen. Before Nebuchadnezzar heats that furnace up. But they stood on the word of God. Somebody shout amen. Amen. And then the closer they got to the fire, they're like, come on, God. Yeah. Come on, Jesus. Come on now. Oh, that they could feel how hot that furnace was because it was heated up 7 times hotter. Oh, Lord, I'd be like, okay, if you're going to do something, now might be the right time, you know. And so now here's the deal that cracked me up. Now, they tied them up, and they tied their hats on their head. That's not funny to you. But they're finna cremate the cats, right? They're finna throw them pretty much into a crematorium.
Yeah.
And you tie his hat on his head? Okay, I guess y'all don't get it. That's just like Nebo, are you crazy? Why are you tying the cat's hat on his head? It's going to burn up. I mean, let me, you know.
Yeah.
But they threw him in there, and the flame immediately cremated the people that threw them in there.
Yeah.
But the fire didn't touch them.
Nope.
The Bible says, and they just walked in there. They didn't even get thrown in. When the other cats burnt up, they go like, oh, wow, that's pretty cool. And just kept walking into the fire. Oh, you're not hearing what I'm saying. See, the devil's always going to make things seem a lot hotter than what you think they are. But you got a God that can keep you in the midst of any kind of fire. I wish somebody help me, please. I don't know how it works, but Nebuchadnezzar comes down and he gets close enough to look into the glass or look into the pit. I don't know what it was. I don't know if they were down or across, but he said, did not we throw 3 men in the fire?
Yeah.
Why do I see 4 men loosed and unharmed?
Yeah.
And when they came out of the fiery furnace, there was 3.
Yeah.
Now, I did pretty good in math, but 3 went in and 4 was there. So in my math, 4 should have came out, but only 3 came out. So if I was Nebuchadnezzar, if I was Nebuch, I would say, where's the other cat that was in there with you?
Yeah.
Y'all wouldn't ask the question. I would go like, hey, where's that other dude?
Yeah.
What other dude? The other dude. Come on, don't play with me. I saw 4 of y'all up and in there. You said, where is he? I'll tell you where he is. He's waiting on you.
Yeah.
So he can be in your fire. You're not helping me, priest. So when you get into the fire, the 4th man is still waiting. Oh, come on, somebody. You won't bend, you won't bow, and you won't burn because the 4th man is still in the fire. And God will never change. Somebody shout amen. So Habakkuk said, you got to revive your work in the midst of the years. You got to bring back. You got to give me something. You got to do like David said. You know what? I would have fainted if I hadn't seen what you could do in my day. As we walk by faith and we are, man, we can get so busy doing all kind of things. If we're not careful, we can allow things to get between us and God. Amen. Our prayers can become paralyzed. Our worship can become weak, and our praise parties can turn into pity parties.
Yeah.
I know some of y'all love pity parties. Y'all probably download the Uber app so you can get people to come. Come to my pity party. I'm praying. I got your Uber right here. I'm praying for everybody, you know. You got your big old bowl of pouch soup. You throw your confetti in the air, and then you got to vacuum up. Now you're mad because you made the mess. Can I tell you something? You cannot worry and worship at the same time. You have got to choose one or the other. You cannot throw a pity party and a praise party at the same time. You have got to choose. Am I going to be pitiful or am I going to praise? Am I going to worry or am I going to worship? And am I going to fail or am I going to have faith? Oh, I wish somebody help me now. And if you make the right choice, God will be there on your side for you. We need to understand that God is the one that is the immutable God.
Yeah.
He will never change. And if he can revive his work, he can also, in Psalms 85:6, wilt thou not revive us?
Right.
that thy people may rejoice in thee. If he can revive his work, he can revive me in the midst of the work. He can refill me with the Holy Ghost. He can make me glad. Whatever happened to having joy and laughter? I wish somebody help me now. We need to ask God to restore the joy. Restore the joy. You know what? It's no fun in living for God if you ain't got no joy. And the devil wants to take your joy, because the joy of the Lord is my strength. Oh, come on, somebody. It doesn't take much to get joy in your life. It doesn't take much to get revived in your spirit. It's just a matter of making up your mind. I'm not sitting here any longer and let the enemy play with my head. Amen. I didn't get to the rodeo yesterday, and I rode the bull for the full 8 seconds. This ain't my first fight. I wish somebody help me preach here tonight. This ain't my first fight, and this ain't my first rodeo. And I'm not going down like a little girl. I came for the... Maybe I'm preaching in the wrong church tonight, but I didn't come to lose. I'm a winner. I didn't come to go down. I came to stand up. You say, how do I revive my joy? How do I revive my joy? If the joy of the Lord is my strength. It's real simple, friend. You get up. And you say, I'm not sitting here being pitiful anymore. You said, it can't be that easy. Yes, it can. Because you have a choice. Your flesh will always gravitate to pity. But your spirit will gravitate to praise. Oh, you're not going to help me preach. Your flesh will always want to worry about something. But your spirit will want to worship about it. Because if you begin to worship, God is going to come in. And you begin to praise, God is going to come in. And you'll find out you don't have that much to be worried about. So you begin to worship. You begin to lift up the name of Jesus. At first it's just going to be ceremony. At first it's just going to be hallelujah, hallelujah. But you get to going fun enough, and something's going to start happening. Something tingling is going to start getting into your spirit. Something's going to start moving in your hands. And before you know it, the Holy Ghost is going to come on you again. I wish somebody help me now. Now you can sit there and be pitiful, or you can get up and do something about your situation. You're stronger than what you think you are. You have more power than what your enemy. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew. Hallelujah. You said it can't be that easy. I'm telling you, it can be that easy. You say, but I don't feel it. It's not about your feelings. It's not, oh, Lord Jesus, be seated. Give me a few minutes. Am I doing okay? It's not about your feelings. Your feelings are making you poor and pitiful, but it's a poor and a pitiful Pentecostal. I'm a poor, pitiful Pentecostal. Oh, please. You're not poor, and you're not pitiful. I'm hoping that you're a Pentecostal, though. You have a thought pattern of the enemy wants to make you poor and pitiful. But you need to deny and say, no, I'm not poor. My father owns the cattle on 1,000. I am not poor. And I am not pitiful. I am powerful. Oh, some of y'all are afraid to say that. Oh, wow. I see a few of y'all need to stand up and say, well, I'm not pitiful, I'm powerful. You better watch it now. You better watch it now. You better watch yourself. You're moving on my territory. You better watch it. You see, I know you, you know. See, somebody make you mad enough, you'll come out of that bag. You'll drop that little pitiful thing really quick. Somebody cross you. I keep laughing like, that's your wife? I ain't going to ask you nothing, all right? I'll just leave it there. It's the ones that look like they won't do anything. You better watch them grits. Or for you, you better watch those refried beans. You know, next thing you know, you're, oh, what am I going to do? Every one of you have the power of the Holy Ghost. I want to key on one word. I want to key on one word.
not weakness. She says dunamis. I don't know much about Latin, but that's a Latin word. I mean, I'm barely speaking English. I can speak Ebonics. I mean, it's like a boom, boom, baby. I got to go boom, boom up in here. I got the shangalang. Don't make me go all the way back on the street on y'all. And what is this? How can you be so riotous out there in the street and they come into church and act like you little marshmallow? I'm going to do in the spirit what I used to do in the street. And that's a bring it on. Bring it on like Donkey Kong. Why? Because I don't have to fight. God fights for me. And he has never lost a battle. He's never lost a battle. I'm making some of y'all mad, which is so good. I'm loving it. Because I want you to get mad enough to get up and say, I'm not taking this mess no more. I am not poor. I am not pitiful. I'm powerful.
Right.
And we're not talking about egotism here. My power comes from God. And if you let him, he will push you. He'll push you as long as you will let him push. Well, it's time you stick your heel in and says, I'm not backing up no more, dude. As a matter of fact, all the ground I lost, I'm regaining. And then I'm taking new territory because it's over. It's over now. So you got Bible for all this? As a matter of fact, I do. There's a dude in the Bible. His name, David.
Yeah.
David is out. He's living in this little city called Ziklag. And he has about 600 men, I believe. And while they're out doing their little reconnaissance, somebody breaks in and steals all of their stuff and their wives and their children and sets the place on fire. Are y'all with me now? I am in the King James Version of the Bible. A minute ago, I was preaching in the Rick James Version of the Bible. But now we're back in the King James Version of the Bible. When I go street, that's Rick. When I'm over here, that's James. All right? I never preach in the Baron James Version of the Bible. You know, I don't preach there. Yeah. So immediately, watch this now. All these big, burly men start crying like little girls. The Bible said they cried till their tear ducts were empty. That's a lot of crying. I mean, then they started picking up rocks. And they was looking at David like there was, you know, how you throw a rock up in there, like, dude, where my woman at? Where my kids, man? Where my stuff, dude? So all these he got, and David's going like, whoo, he's crying. And then the Bible says he goes into the tent where he's got this little tabernacle thing going on. And he puts on a linen ephod. And the Bible says that David encouraged himself in the Lord. My pastor would have said he pulled up on his own bootstraps. And I've often wondered, Pastor, what did he do in there? Because it's not written.
Right.
I've often wondered, how do you encourage yourself in the Lord? What did you do to encourage yourself? What prayer? Did you pray a prayer? Did you have a little simile? What actually went on? And the Bible is silent. So I started praying. I said, God, what did David do? You didn't have it put in the Bible. You got to tell me what he did. Because sometimes I need to encourage myself. You cannot always wait for somebody to come around and encourage you.
Right.
You can't always wait for somebody to call you on the phone when you're down and out.
Sometimes God will put you right there to see what you will do. You start calling on the phone and nobody answers. And you wait for a call back and nobody. And then you go, yea, though I walk through the valleys of the shadow of death. God seemingly leaves you there all by yourself. Anybody ever been there? Because I've been there. Nobody calls. Nobody comes by. Didn't even give a good, you know, didn't even give a wave. I'm driving down the street. Nobody even waving at me like, hey. So I kept praying about it. Here's a thought. I can't say this is God. Here's a thought that came in my mind. Because David didn't say he encouraged himself in himself. Said he encouraged himself in the Lord. What's your name? Nate. Here's what I think David did. I think that while David was in there, he had a moment that he became sober because he was drunk on his situation. He was intoxicated on his mess. Oh, come on. Somebody listen to me now. He was just under the influence of the pressure. And then he had a moment of clarity and he said, wait a minute. I serve a God that does not change. Well, hold on. Hold on now. So he says, you know what? He's the same God that delivered me out of the mouth of the lion. You're not going to help me preach. He's the same God that delivered me out of the paw of the bear. Watch this now. This is a giant situation, but he already delivered me out of one giant situation. Oh, y'all not going to help me preach it. Is there anybody see where I'm going with this? David said, I still remember what that anointing oil felt like. I still remember what it smelt like when Samuel poured that horn of oil all over me. I remember the tingling. I can remember how I felt. Amen. I remember when the Spirit of the Lord came upon. Y'all not gonna help me preach that. And I believe that David began to run down all the victories that God had did. Oh, come on, somebody. He began to run. And you're gonna, if he can do that, you're not gonna help me. If he can do that, he's the unchangeable, he's immutable. He can, oh, come on. If God can get me by the bear and get me through the lion and get me past it, he can surely work in my situation. Somebody shout amen. I'm looking at soldiers in here. I want to remind some of you what God's already done in your life. I want to remind you that you're not here because you're good.
Come on now.
Oh, ooh, wow.
Come on now.
Hmm.
That's true.
Hmm.
Come on. Oh, yeah. Listen.
Wow.
Come on. Tell it to us.
I think I will. Who said that? Oh, that's my girl over there. She's. I saw y'all looking at her. She goes, oh, I saw y'all. You used to be like that long time ago. But now, you done got sophisticated. If you can shout in an old suit, you ought to be able to shout in a new suit. If you can shout in a dress from Sally's, you ought to be able to shout in a dress from Macy's. If you're not going to help me preach up. Friend, we should never get over getting excited about who God is in our life.
Yeah. Yeah. Come on.
Well, I'm meddling now. I'm sorry. You can fix this when I leave.
Yeah.
I'm just about done, though. Go on, girl. Get it. Well, I don't get too excited because, you see, I'm a man of the word. I'm a word man. Just all that excitement is just—it's a bunch of stuff. But I want the word. Well, good, because the word says, "Praise Him in the dance."
Yeah.
Mr. Word Man, the word says, "Clap your hands, all ye people, and shout unto God." Mr. Word Man, it's time you get unloosed. It's time you get unhinged. It's time you shout like you never shouted. It's time you. Come on, somebody. It's time you remember the goodness of the Lord in the land of the living and say he's an unmutable, unchangeable God. And if he did it once, he'll do it again. If he healed once, he'll heal again. If he did a miracle once, he'll do it again. He's a God that never changes.
Yeah.
He is the immutable God. Everybody stand. I made enough people, man. I'm going to leave them to you. The Bible says every good gift cometh down from above, from the Father of lights, and who there is no variantness or shades or dimensions of turning. He remains. He remains the immutable God. Time cannot change him. He is beyond eternality. Years does not make him wax old. He lives. Everything lives in him. He's outside of light. He's outside of gravity. He's outside of any of the physical things that hold this permeable existence together. Are you hearing what I'm saying? He is the immutable God. If you got a situation, I've got a God that can meet that situation. We had a young lady today. She was facing surgery. Well, too, we had a little girl. Oh, what is her name? Victoria. And they said she had scoliosis. Scoliosis, her back was curved, yada, yada. Had a bump in her back. So we pray for her on Monday. Then we pray for her on Wednesday. Then we pray for her on Sunday. And the bump be gone.
Amen.
I'm sorry. You don't have to believe it. You don't have to believe nothing. I'm a believer. You're an unbeliever. I'm a believer. Had a lady in the church this morning, Sister Faye. She's Filipino. Sweet girl. Her husband is Hispanic. So our church is just like all messed up, you know. I got Hispanic cast with Filipino chicks. Then I got a white dude married to a chick from Pakistan. Then I got a black guy married to a Hispanic chick. Then I got another guy married to this other kind of chick. And then I got all these little chickadees running around here with all. We're like Elvis. We're all mixed up. I'll be at Vegas later on this day. Elvis must have had a little bit of brother in him in the shake like that, you know what I'm saying? You need to understand something, folks. Church is not about color. Listen carefully. Neither is it about culture. It's about covenant. There's no black church. There's no white church. There's no brown church. And there's nothing in the middle of all those hues at all, except for one infallible God that says this: whosoever will, let them come. Whosoever will. He is yet still the immutable God. Is there somebody here that needs healing? Because I got a text for Sister Faye, and she's supposed to go to the surgeon. They're supposed to do like an MRI because she's got this bulging disc, and she took two or three pain pills this morning, and she was barely walking into the church until the immutable God showed up. But y'all don't get this stuff. It's fine. It's good. It's good. Good. All of a sudden, she went. I go, get it, girl. Go get your miracle. Go get your healing. Don't just sit there and wait, Jesus. Come on back to Jesus. Now, I came all the way down here. You come up here.
Yes.
I need some Barnabas in here. Not afraid to jump up and down and say, Jesus, thou son of David, have mercy on me. I need some Zacchaeus in the house that don't mind climbing the tree so he can get a better look at where Jesus is. Come on, somebody.
Yes, yes.
Anybody need healing tonight in their body? Somebody say, yeah. You do? Come on.